I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. And what a good life it is living for the Lord today. And I trust that you have trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Today we're going to continue our look into the bird's eye view for me and you, books of the New Testament. Our study today takes us to the book of Jude. This is number 26 in our study. Now, if you'd like to have a transcript of this program or any of the other programs of It's a Good Life, you need to write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Or you can go to our website, lrwm.org. lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to download every transcript of It's a Good Life. Now, if you would simply like a transcript of A Bird's Eye View for Me and You, and that's the books of the New Testament, write to me or go to the website and request the transcripts of A Bird's Eye View for Me and You, books of the New Testament. And I'll be glad to send those to you free of charge. We thank the Lord today for BibleTranscripts.com. They are the ones who have the ministry of providing these transcripts for us and for you, the listener. BibleTranscripts.com. Let me encourage you to go to that website today and look at it, BibleTranscripts.com. Well, today we are going to look at the book of Jude, and the background is this. Jude was possibly the brother of our Lord. In verse 1 it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. But notice there it says, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, we could go back to Matthew chapter 13 and read verse 55, which says, is not this the carpenter's son, speaking of Jesus here, is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Of course, Judas would be Jude. And we have reference to one of the other brothers here, James, in verse 1. It says, is not the brother of James. So I believe that according to the Scriptures, the one who wrote this book was actually the brother of our Lord. And we understand also that his brothers did not believe in him, in our Lord, until his resurrection. And in fact, his brothers would go around making fun of our Lord, and they only wanted, as many people did in those days, and some even today, actually proclaim Jesus, not as Savior, but they proclaim him in order to make money. Something else that caught my eye here in Matthew chapter 13, it goes on to say in verse 56, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Now, we know that Mary was a virgin when she conceived our Lord by the Holy Spirit. She was conceived. She conceived and bare a son, Jesus Christ. No man, no earthly man had part in that. She was a virgin. But after our Lord was born, we need to look back and study and understand that she married Joseph, and they did have children. So when someone says the virgin Mary, you need to understand that she did not remain a virgin. She had children, and that's important because she is not someone that we are to worship. We are to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, the date of Jude is approximately A.D. 68. The setting here is it's likely to have been written to Jewish Christians who have not noticed ungodly persons or just ungodliness in the church. It crept in. It was something that kind of sneaked up on them. And once again, this book is not only written to those people who were alive then, but it's written to us as well. The key verses, I believe, here are verses 3 and 4. In verse 4 it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Well, verse 4 goes on to say, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, what is the purpose of the book? The purpose is to get Christians to contend for the faith. We're to contend for the faith by continually striving earnestly. We are to do what we can, not just for a show, but we are to earnestly contend for the faith. It's not a game, but it's real. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now, of course, in 1 Timothy, in the verses we just read, chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, Paul is talking to Timothy, but he's also talking to us today. "But thou, O man of God, and women of God, people of God, we are to fight the good faith. We are to earnestly contend for the faith." And many other verses talk about this, and it talks about in verse 16 through 21 of Jude about murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. We're to watch out for these people. We're not to give them credence when it comes to serving our Lord. We are to contend for the faith also by noticing the sins of the ungodly. In verse 4 of Jude it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We're to turn away from these people. We're not to have anything to do with those people who say that Jesus is not God, that the doctrine of our Lord is not important. We are to notice the sins of these people. We are to do this by remembering that they will be judged by God. In verse 5 it says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." Now God is the judge. God is the one who will eventually and do what is necessary to judge these people who are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God. Jude 5 says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, after destroyed them that believe not." Folks, there's coming a day when the judgment hand of God is going to take place. He is going to reach forth and he's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew ye." And it's sad to see and say that when we are standing there as saved people and we're going to see this happen at the white throne judgment, how that God, Jesus the judge, is going to say, "Depart from me." What a sad day that will be. Well, we're also to contend for the faith, not only by noticing the sins of the ungodly, but by building up each other in the faith. Jude 20 and verse 21 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We are to build each other up, to help each other, and not only to build each other up, but we're to help those caught in sin. Verse 22 and 23 says, And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now I take this to mean that not only are we to preach the word to the unsaved, but we are also to help our brothers and sisters who have fallen away from God. Not that they've lost their salvation, but they have strayed from the Lord and they need to be brought back. Pull them back and let them know that we love them. Now, there's many other things we can say about contending for the faith, but let's look at a couple of application lessons here. First, leaders need to know what their brethren need to be taught. Verses 3 and 4 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We are to, as leaders, we need to know what their brethren need to be taught. "Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to let people know about godliness. We need to let people know about the grace of God. We need to let people know concerning the way of ungodly men. Warn others, according to Jude 4, verse 5 through 19. Leaders need to teach what their brethren need, not what the leaders would like to teach. We need to get into the Word of God as leaders and teach the Word of God and not simply give what we think, but "thus saith the Word of God." Well, on and on this chapter goes and this book goes, and it tells us about so many things that it's a short book as we look at, but it's chock full of information, of guidance that we as saved people need to look at. Let me call to your attention one person in Jude 14, Enoch. Verse 14 says, "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." God is going to send his son back. And guess who's coming with him? 10,000. 10,000s of his saints. That's us. We are coming back with him because first we're going to be caught up with him in the clouds. The rapture of the church will take place. We will be with the Lord. And therefore, we're to comfort one another. And then Jude says that there's going to be those people coming back with him who have trusted him in this life, in this time that we live, the church age. The people are going to be going with him in the rapture, and then we're coming back with him. And the Bible tells us that we're going to come back with him as he touches down on the Mount of Olives. I pray that you've trusted Christ as your Savior today. Do you know him? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? You can do that right now by simply saying, "Lord Jesus, I don't understand everything. I don't understand how that you could come and die for me, but I believe it, Lord, because your word says so, and I trust you as my Savior today. Please come into my heart and save me so I can go to heaven." If you'll pray that prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll pray that prayer, the Lord will save you, make you a new person in Jesus Christ today. It's been good being with you today, and let me remind you that our study continues next week. Study number 27 with the book of Revelation. And I would also remind you that you could look up our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.